Well, you just heard from Pastor Jarrett that we are talking about marriages this morning, and I'm going to confess up front that I have been on my best behavior all week long in my house, right? I wanted to make sure there was not a big fight or a blow up going in to the week that we were talking about marriage. Chelsea was on her best behavior because she didn't want a story about her to evolve into this sermon on marriage. So listen, we've been on our best behavior. Friday night, we had another family over into our house, and it was hilarious. They're in the kitchen, and this couple got into a little bit of a fight or an argument, and I sort of stepped back out of the way thinking, man, keep going. I need a great story for Sunday morning. Let's see sort of what happens here, but it all sort of smoothed out, and we laughed about it, and we were like, listen, that's not what we need. We're not about funny stories. We're about the Word of God and building stronger marriages based on the Word of God. That's our title this morning. If you're taking notes, Stronger Marriages. That's our goal. As we look into God's Word, we want to build strong and God-honoring marriages. And I'm just going to say that as I read this week, as I studied this week, God worked in my heart, God worked in our home, and I'm praying this week that He speaks in your life, because you know that no matter where you're at in your life, no matter where you're at in your marriage, the Word of God is living and active, and it speaks directly to where we're at with truth and wisdom from God Himself. And know that I realize that when we talk about marriages in larger contexts like this, it can be a little bit difficult. Just the word marriage or the thought of marriage hits each one of us a little bit differently, and a lot of times it's on a very personal level. For some in the room, you say the word marriage and it's only good thoughts. They think about their mom and dad's marriage. They think about their marriage by the grace of God, things that have been good and healthy in their life. Not perfect. None of us are perfect, not saying that, but generally it's been good. Some people, they have the exact opposite reaction when they hear the word marriage. They think about, you know, what happened in their home when they were little, and it gets them down. They think about struggles they've had in their own marriage, and happiness is not the word that they would use to describe marriage. Right? All walks of life are represented here today. We've got husbands and wives whose marriages have never been stronger. We've got husbands and wives in here that may have recently just begun talks about how to end their marriage relationship. We have blended families here. We have single people here. We have students here. We have engaged people here. We have widows and widowers here that are remembering their spouses today. I just want to, at the very beginning, encourage you and say that whatever situation you find yourself in this morning, God's Word speaks clearly and speaks directly to you. If you're not married and you hope to be, or you plan to be married at some point in the future, take the notes down that we're going to go over today and begin praying over those things, asking God to do that work in your heart to prepare you for a godly, biblical, God-honoring marriage. If you're not married and you don't have plans to be married at any point in your future, I want to encourage you to take these same notes down and then use them to point truth and wisdom into the lives of people around you, because you're going to know married people over the course of your life, and you can help them with truth from the Word of God. If you are married, I want to encourage you, no matter where you're at, if you would rate your marriage as a 10 or as a 1, take notes today, knowing that the God's Word speaks. It is not silent on marriage, and wherever you're at, you can build a stronger, more God-honoring marriage. And then finally, if you have been married and you're now a widow or a widower, I want to encourage you, keep walking close to Jesus. Use wisdom from the Word of God, use wisdom from your own marriage, and invest in the marriages of people around you. That the conversation around marriage is critical. Family and marriage, I think that most people would agree with this statement, families and marriages are under attack. Right, that our culture, a lot of times, goes after directly families and marriage. It goes after what is happening in the home. And a lot of people look and say, well, it happened with the internet, or it happened with social media. Some people might say, well, it happened in the revolutions of the 60s and 70s as we made a cultural shift in our country or in our world. I'm telling you, that's not the case, right? The attacks on marriage have been happening since the very beginning. If you've got a Bible, open to Genesis chapter 2. Chelsea and I talk about this all the time. We know, we see in the lives of so many people, the enemy directly going after marriage. If you'll remember, in Genesis chapter 2, God establishes, He blesses marriage. He puts it together, and then immediately in Genesis chapter 3, where we see Satan attacking husband and wife. We see Satan trying to divide husband and wife, knowing that if he can attack the family, if he can attack marriage, he can deal a blow spiritually, that he can cause damage, that he can cause harm in the home and in the relationships outside of the home as well. I want you to think about marriage and family. We've talked about it a little bit these past 2 weeks. We know that the family is God's design to pass down the works of God and the love of God from one generation to another, right? So that is why the enemy goes so hard after family. So this morning, I want to encourage you to engage, open your Bible, take notes, be prayerful, watching what God is calling you to do in your marriage, knowing that even when we don't see it, there is a massive spiritual war going on revolving around marriage. And our goal as a church family, married, single, and everything in between, our goal is to be armed with truth from the Word of God so that we can build stronger, God-honoring, biblical marriages. Look with me, Genesis 2, we're going to start in verse 18. It says this, "The Lord God said, 'It is not good that man should be alone. So I will make a helper that's fit for him.' Now out of the ground the Lord God had formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens, and he brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to the livestock, to the birds of the heavens, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not a helper that was fit for him." Now, if you pause here and think about the creation story in Genesis chapter 1, you've got this very poetic rhythm that you find there. God speaks, something is created, God surveys it, and he uses this phrase over and over. God says, "And it was good, and it was good, and it was good." He does this over and over throughout creation. We get to Genesis 2, verse 18, and we read for the first time, God says, "Well, this is not good. It is not good that man would be alone. There is no match suitable for Adam," right? Nothing that in all of creation partners up or pairs with him the way that it needs to. You ever play those matching games where you lay the cards out on the table, there's a different picture under each card, and you flip it over, and if you flip the two things over that look alike, you've got a match and you've got a point, right? It's a game that we played with our kids, and now they get it, but when they were littler, they would flip things over, and they would think, just because I flipped it over, it's a match, and I'll pull it together. They're matching dogs and elephants together, alligators and horses, all of those things, and we had to explain to them, that's not the design here, right? Those things do not fit together. They do not go together. That's just not how it works. That's what's going on in the garden. All of these different things are coming. They're being placed before Adam. Adam names them all for the glory of God, and we see that there's no match there. So look what God does. Verse 21, "The Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and while he slept, he took one of his ribs, and he closed up the place with flesh, and the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man." Now imagine with me this moment. The first man ever meeting the first woman ever. Adam has seen everything that God's made. Adam has seen all of the animals, the beautiful animals and the ugly animals. Adam has seen it all. And at no point did God say, "That's a match," until God brings Eve to Adam. And in that moment, right, Adam, filled with joy, is thanking God, saying, that's the match, God. Look at verse 23. He says, "At last, this is it. Bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She is woman because she is taken out of man." Aren't you thankful that God made it this way? Aren't you thankful that when the elephant came up, God didn't say, "That's the match, Adam"? Doesn't work. Right? God made man and woman unique from everything else in creation, right? In his image, God breathed his very breath into man and woman to give them life. When you read Genesis 1 and 2, that doesn't happen for anything else that God created. We're made in his image, unique, the perfect match for one another, and it's God alone that puts us together. Look at verse 24. It goes on to say, "A man will leave his father and mother, hold fast to his wife, and the two will become one flesh." Everything that we see here in Genesis and the creation account of man and woman, it points to our first truth on marriage. If you're taking notes and you want to build a stronger marriage, here's where we start. Remember that God is the designer, right? God has designed marriage, that this is not something that we have done. Imagine, if you will, that you get a call from the people at NASA this week, and they say, hey, you know what? You've won a contest you didn't even know you were in. We're going to send you to the space station this week. You're going to ride on a rocket. You're going to go up there. You're going to have the experience of a lifetime. If you get the call me. I want to go with you, right? But here's the thing, right? When you get there and you're looking at the rocket that's going to take you up there, in no world would you ever even begin to think to say to the people that were there, man, the rocket's good, but it could be better, right? I want you to take that knob, take it off, and screw it on over there. I want you to take these wires that are running this direction and move them that direction. You know that steering wheel that's in the front? Move the steering wheel to the back. You would never think to do that. Why? Because you didn't make it, right? You're not the designer of it. You're not the creator of it. You did not uniquely put it together. You're going to trust the design. You're going to get into the design and just go with it. You see where this is going, right? God is the designer of marriage, not us. Right, so we have no ability, no authority to speak into it and call it anything but what God does. We have to hold fast to the truth of God's design for marriage, that God set it up, that we would uniquely fit together as man and woman, as husband and wife. Hold fast to the truth. Listen, Jesus did. There's sometimes that people will say, listen, Jesus never specifically addressed marriage. That's not true. Jesus did address marriage several times. Matthew 19 is a very, very good example of it. Mark 10 is another good example of it. And Matthew chapter 19, it says the Pharisees came up to Jesus and they said, Jesus, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife under any circumstances? Now, pause there and just know, those guys that asked the question, they could have cared less about divorce. All they were trying to do was trap Jesus in an answer on something. They were trying to derail Jesus over and over and over again. That was their pattern. Jesus' pattern was truth. And it gave Jesus to speak an opportunity about truth. And he looks at them and he opens with this phrase, have you not read? Right? What is he talking about? What were they supposed to read? Genesis chapter 2, what we just read. Jesus says, have you not read that he who created them from the beginning, male and female, said, therefore, a man will leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. That is Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. Jesus affirms God's design. He affirms the truth of Scripture. And then he goes on to say, they're no longer two, but they're one flesh. What God has joined together, let not man separate. I said that in a wedding last night. You've probably heard that in weddings. Those are the words of Jesus spoken over the institution of marriage. Jesus very clearly affirms that God's the designer of marriage. And that last phrase, look at it again, Matthew 19, verse 6. What God has joined together. Think about that. What God has joined together. This is the clearest statement in the Bible, that marriage is God's doing, not our doing. What God has joined together means that God is the one that has done it. God is the designer, and God is the one that puts man and woman together as husband and wife. If you want that stronger, biblical, God-honoring marriage, remember who designed it. And then second, understand this. Not only is God the designer, God is the foundation of your marriage. You want a better marriage, a stronger marriage, a biblical marriage, a God-honoring marriage, make sure that God is the foundation of your marriage. Think about what a foundation is. All right, think about what a foundation is. Your house is built on a foundation. All right, if there's problems with the foundation, there's problems with the house. My kids build Lego creations. The ones that don't have a foundation, they fall down. The kid cries. I step on them. I cry. It's not a good thing. But when there's a good, wide, strong foundation, what happens to the creation? It's strong. It's sturdy. It stays where it needs to be. The foundation supports everything. Without a good one, things begin to crumble. Think about your home. When there's a problem with your foundation, you fix it. You address it. When you think there might one day be a problem, you address it. We've got big roots coming from an oak tree straight towards the side of our house. We're not waiting for the problem. We know that they could attack our foundation. We are going to do whatever it is necessary to ensure that we protect the foundation of our home. How much more important is your marriage than your home? Protect the foundation. Build on that foundation. If you have anything in your life that is messing with, distracting, or pulling away from your love relationship with Jesus Christ, you need to root that out of your life and turn your heart back to Him. Your foundation in Christ needs to be solid. Jesus said it. Matthew chapter 7. I know we're bouncing around a lot today. Matthew chapter 7, Jesus tells this story about someone that builds their house on the rock. He says, if you build it on a rock, you're on a good foundation. He tells another story, or another part of that story. If you build your house on the sand, that is a weak foundation. He goes on to say, the strong foundation, the rock, that is a wise person. The weak foundation, the sand, Jesus' words are, that is a foolish person. When the storms of life come, the person that built on the sand, they are washed away, their home is washed away, everything built on the foundation of sand, it's gone. But the one that builds on the rock, when the storms of life come, and you're going to experience them, we all are, it holds firm and it stands strong. Those are the words of Jesus. And here's what he says. The person that listens to my words, the words of God, and does them, that's the person whose house is built on the rock. But we've got to build our foundation on the truth of the word of God. If you want that strong, good marriage, it starts with understanding that God alone is the foundation. I mentioned a second ago, I officiated a wedding last night. Amazing couple. We love them so much. They're relatively new to North Cline, and they love you guys. They love the church family. You have welcomed them in an incredible way. And last night in the groom's room, before everybody went out, just me and the groom in there, but we were waiting on the tap on the door for us to go out and to get in our spots down at the altar. And if you haven't been in one of those rooms in a while, I'll tell you, this is just a big ball of nerves in there, right? As the guy's thinking about going out and making this commitment before God and before his new bride. And we're in that room, and he just begins to talk about what God has done in his life. He began to talk about the things that God was doing and just so happy to be a part of the church family. And in his own words, he's articulating that this relationship with Christ and what God has done and in his wife and his fiance, now his wife's life. And the incredible thing is this, after we go out and we're in the middle of the ceremony, I looked at him and I looked at her and I said these words. And sometimes this catches people off guard in weddings. Didn't catch them off guard because we had talked about it in their premarital counseling, but I said this phrase, listen, your love is amazing. Your love is real, it's genuine, it's pure. We can see, we can sense, we know that you guys are so incredibly in love. But remember, that's not the foundation of your marriage. The foundation of your marriage is your individual love relationship with Christ and your together relationship with Christ. And that is what you will build on for a strong and God-honoring marriage. And the same is true for me, and the same is true for you. It starts as we know and walk intimately with Jesus. The easiest way to explain this, if we're looking to build on Him, is just obey Him, right? Just read the Word of God and do what it says. Seek to love Him with your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Seek to love your neighbor as yourself. He does not hide what He's calling us to do. And as we do that, we're building our lives, our foundation on Him, and the natural result is you grow closer and more intimate with the spouse that God has given you. Look at the screen. There's just a simple, easy illustration to remind you of this. This stuck in my head a long time ago. I always love to bring it up. You've got God at the top. You've got me and Chelsea, my wife, down at the bottom. And here's the thing. If you look at the very beginning, look at how far apart Chelsea and I are, just visually on the screen. And as I grow closer to Jesus and my relationship with Him, as I love Him with my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then as Chelsea loves Jesus with her heart, soul, mind, and strength, I want you to look at the distance between the two of us as we draw close to God. Over time, we get closer and closer and closer together. God knits our hearts together through and because of our relationship with Him. I am telling you that the key to that strong foundation and marriage is to make Him the foundation, right? It's this spiritual growth that happens. Here's the thing. If you're struggling a bit in your marriage today, and I'm sure that the people in here are struggling a bit in their marriage, if you're wondering how to rebuild the foundation of your marriage because there's different things that are going on, I'm telling you right now, it's not to elbow your spouse the whole time that we're sitting in here. It's not to make a list of the things that they have done wrong and to shoot it over to them. That's not it. If you want to repair or build the foundation, I'm encouraging you from the Word of God this morning, start with your own heart drawing close to Jesus. Start with your own heart loving God with all that you've got. Start with your own heart being obedient to the word of God. Start with your own heart loving your neighbor as yourself, and build your life, on your relationship with Christ. And God's going to draw you close to your spouse in a way that you never could have dreamed before. If you're preparing for marriage, if you're looking to the future of marriage one day, start this now. Make sure that you are growing in your love relationship with Jesus. Make sure that your foundation as a person is built on your relationship with Christ. If you're thinking about marriage one day and a future spouse and what to look for, you're looking for someone whose foundation of their life is built on their relationship with Christ. Make sure the foundation is there. And then finally, if you want that stronger marriage, remember this. Christ is the model. When we step into marriage, Christ is the model. And here's what I mean by that. Treat your spouse the way that Jesus treats you. Do for your spouse what Jesus has done for you, right? I want you to think about the things that Jesus has done for you. Think about the way that Jesus has treated you over the course of your life. That there's three action steps here. If we're going to follow Jesus as the model, and the first is this, we know that Jesus keeps every promise that he has ever made to us. In marriage, if you're following Jesus as the model, keep your promise to your spouse. No matter what comes or what happens, keep your promise to your spouse. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, 13, I love this reminder from Scripture. It says this, if we are faithless, God remains faithful. Why? Because we've stepped into a covenant with God. The Holy Spirit of God lives inside us. We are children of God. We are bound to Him in a relationship with Him. And I'm telling you right now, if that's true of you, if you're a child of God, God has never broken a promise to you, and He never, ever will. As we follow His lead, we're called to remain faithful. That is His expectation of us in marriage. Follow the model that He gives. Malachi chapter 2, verse 14, God's word says, God is a witness between you and the wife of your youth. So guard yourselves in your spirit and let none of you be faithless to the wife of your youth. That's God's design for marriage, that we enter into a covenant with one another and together we keep our promises. God's faithful to His promises. Follow His lead and be faithful in the promises that you make. Not only is God faithful to us, what we know as we read the Word of God, that man, Jesus loves us so incredibly much. It might sound silly to even need to say, but our second action step this morning for that stronger marriage is love your spouse. Love your spouse and love them well. The most famous verse in the Bible, John 3:16, is talking to us about the love of God. Matthew 22, as Jesus is outlining the most important things that we could ever do, he says the second most important thing that you can do on this earth with your life is to love your neighbor as yourself. Yet your spouse falls into that category. Love your spouse. How? Like Jesus said, the way that you love yourself. This sounds funny to say, and maybe it sounds funny to say. We don't say this too often, but I'm just telling you right now, you love yourself well, okay? You provide for yourself. You take care of yourself. You ensure that your needs are met. You ensure that your preferences are there. You study yourself. You know yourself. You know what is good for you, and you make sure that those things are a reality in your life. Jesus says, love your spouse like that. Love them the way that you love yourself. Love is more than just this emotion that you feel. Love is more than just this warm, fuzzy things that happens in your heart every now and then. Love is a choice. Every day, make the choice to wake up and love your spouse with all that you have got. Some mornings you might not feel like it. It doesn't matter. Wake up and love your spouse. It's an action. It is something that you do, something you demonstrate and show to the person that God has placed in your life. It is not something that just happens. Love is a choice, something that God is calling you to do. So wherever you're at in your marriage this morning, make the choice right here, right now. Love your spouse. Things are hard right now. Make the choice right here, right now. Love your spouse. Wake up tomorrow, love your spouse. Wake up the next day and love your spouse. You can do a million other things for them. But I'm telling you, if you do not love them, then those things are meaningless. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1 says this, if I can speak in the tongues of men and angels, but I don't have love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. says, if I have prophetic powers and I understand all the mysteries and I have all the knowledge and I have all the faith and I can move mountains, but I have not love, what does it say? It says, I am nothing. If I'm willing to give away all that I have and let my body be taken as a sacrifice, but I don't have love, I gain nothing. Love is critical to your relationship with your spouse. That chapter goes on to describe love. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. Love does not insist on its own way. That's saying love is not selfish. Love is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing. Love rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love does not end. If you're waiting for this big emotion, if you're waiting for these fireworks to start going off in your heart again, to reconnect you to your spouse, I am telling you, you are not loving the way that the Bible tells you to love. You want true love? It's right there in the Word of God. True love is being patient with your spouse. It's being kind to them. It's rejoicing in them. It's being selfless, not selfish. It bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. It endures all things. It makes the choice. Love makes the choice to never end. Love your spouse. Because when you love your spouse the way that Jesus has loved you, you can forgive your spouse the way that Jesus has forgiven you. That's our third and final action step. We're closing with that this morning. If you want a godly, strong, biblical marriage, forgive your spouse. Forgive them often and forgive them right away. Why? Because Christ has forgiven you of more than you will ever need to forgive your spouse of. If you're a believer in the room, if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, you know that apart from Christ, what was true of you? What was true of me? We were destined for the wrath of God. We were destined to be separated from God. But God loves us so much that he sent his one and only son, Jesus, to die on the cross to take the punishment for everything that I had done wrong. And if I believe in him, then Jesus forgives me. I love the way that Colossians chapter 2 says it. It says he takes my sin and he sets it aside. He takes my sin and it is no more. He takes my sin and it's removed from the relationship that I now have with God. Listen, when we understand all of the grace that we have been given, when we understand all of the ways in which we have been forgiven, we can forgive our spouse in that exact same way. At the wedding last night, there was another couple that was there that goes to our church, and they reminded me, when they heard about the sermon being marriage, they reminded me of a story that I told in here one time about Chelsea and I getting into a really big fight not too long after we got married. She threw a cookie to me. It stuck to my back. It was this whole big thing, right? If you've never heard the story, it's hilarious. Go ask Chelsea about it. Sometimes she loves to tell it, right? But that happened not too long after we got married. And it was a big blow-up fight in our house. But here's the thing. We forgave each other. Because Christ has forgiven us, and we moved on. And here's the thing. We have had other fights. We have other arguments, other disagreements over the years. And every single time, we are able to forgive one another because God in Christ first has forgiven us. Here's the thing. Without the reminder of grace, you could be tempted to think, man, my spouse is messed up too big. I cannot forgive them of this. But when you remember God's grace, you can extend it to your spouse in forgiveness. Christ is the model, right? Remember what he does. God does not hold our sin in front of our face. God does not remind us of our past failures. God does not every time we turn around say, well, yeah, but you forgot this, or yeah, you didn't do this, or yeah, 4 years ago you did this. God doesn't do that, right? God forgives us and he removes the sin from our relationship. Forgive your spouse this morning. When you mess up, seek forgiveness from your spouse. Go first. If you sit around pouting and mad, waiting for them to make the first move, you are not doing what God is calling you to do. Jesus went first, you go first. This morning, maybe you're in here and you need to forgive your spouse. You've been holding on to something for a long time. Forgive the way that Christ has forgiven you. Maybe this morning you've messed up and you know it. You have done things that have harmed your marriage, or you're doing things that are harming your relationship with your spouse. If that's you this morning, seek their forgiveness. Go first. Go first. Ask them to forgive you of whatever it is that's going on. Don't wait. Just do it. Write this verse down. We're going to close with this verse, Colossians chapter 3. I read it in almost every wedding that I officiate. It's a great reminder and summation of all of this for married couples. God says, put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if one has a complaint against one another, forgive one another. As the Lord has forgiven you, so also you must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds all together in perfect unity. God designed marriage. God is the foundation of your marriage. And we need to treat each other in our marriage like Jesus treats us. He's the model. Keep your promise, love your spouse, and forgive your spouse. And as we wrap up, I'm just going to say this almost as just an encouragement and a reminder to us. If you are walking through something specific right now in your marriage, if you are walking through a specifically difficult or challenging season, if you are not sure who to talk to, where to turn, or how you should process whatever it is you are walking through in your marriage, I want to encourage you this morning to seek wisdom from the Word of God. I want to encourage you to pray and ask God for wisdom to navigate whatever it is. Ask His Holy Spirit to guide you. Talk to friends and family members that love Jesus and that love you. Seek counsel from godly people, from godly sources that will point you to truth, that will protect you. If that is a need that you have in your life right now, know that in a general conversation on marriage, a general look to the Word on marriage like this, there's no way that we could outline or detail in every situation that might be a reality in this room this morning. My prayer is this, that we would understand God designed it, He's the foundation of it, and He's the model for how we should walk this out. And if you're struggling this morning, please hear me say right now that we are for you, that we are with you, that we love you, and that we want to come alongside you in whatever it is going on right now. The enemy, that the biggest lie the enemy ever gives any one of us is that we are the only ones dealing with whatever it is we are dealing with, and that forces us into a place of isolation. That is not the case. If you're walking through something right now, let us come alongside you and love you to help you and everyone in our church family build a stronger, God-honoring, God-glorifying marriage. Would you pray with me this morning? As we bow our heads, wherever you're at in your life, wherever you're at in your marriage, I just want you to pray right now for your marriage. You know what to pray. You know what's going on in your marriage. You know what's going on in your life. If you're not married, pray over a future marriage. If you're not married and you don't plan to be married, pray over marriages of other people that are in this room. You know what to pray. Ask that God would anchor our hearts to His truth as the designer and the foundation of marriage. Ask that we would live out the Word of God with Him being the model for how we treat our spouse in marriage. Just pray. God, help me to make the next step a step of obedience to your word so that my marriage is stronger and God-honoring. And if you're in the room this morning and you are struggling in your marriage, you know who you are. Right? And I want to encourage you to be honest before God this morning. And in this time of prayer, say, God, help. Help. We're battling right now. God, we're struggling right now. And if that's you today, listen, I'm telling you. Well, we've got prayer partners that would love nothing more than to pray over you about whatever it is that's going on. If you're struggling right now, if you need wisdom right now, whether it's husband and wife here together, or listen, maybe just one of you is here this morning, wherever you're at in your journey, come and talk to us today. Step into our connection room. And you can pour your heart out in there, or you could simply say, hey, listen, I'm not getting into details today, but just pray for me. Pray for my marriage. And man, we would love to pray over you and to come alongside you. Well, I'm telling you, if you are struggling, do not struggle alone. Do not let embarrassment or shame or guilt or any of those things are not from God. Do not let any of those things keep you or stop you from letting the people of God help you wherever you find yourself in life right now. If you heard this morning that a life and a marriage is to be built on a foundation, relationship with Christ, and you do not have that relationship with Christ, I want to encourage you, stop in that same connection room after the service. I'm going to point it out after our time of prayer. Stop in there and say, I need to trust Christ as my Savior. We love to walk through that with you. Or if you just need prayer over anything else that's going on in your world, in your life, do not leave here today without letting us pray over you, coming alongside you. That's what God has designed this church family for. God, we love you, and we thank you that in your perfect design, you created man and woman to bring them together as husband and wife. And Lord, I pray for us this morning that our hearts would be anchored in your truth, and that no matter where we find ourselves, God, our next step would be a step of obedience to you. We love you and we trust you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. And everybody said, got
a few announcements. Thank you for joining us online. We hope today's experience encouraged and challenged you. At Champion Forest, we are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God, to grow in their relationship with Him and others, and then to go out and make a difference in the world. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. And hey, of course, we can't wait to welcome you on campus, in person, on one of our locations. We'll see you soon.